Last week, as Brian said, I shared a reflection on the reading from Genesis, and today's reading from Genesis is an excellent one, but which I'm not going to preach on. I love it because there's so many ways Joseph could have reacted, and that's a story in itself. There's a huge theology about, you know, Shakespeare would say, all's well that ends well, and Joseph would see the hand of God in there, but I'm not going to get into that because I want to talk about the gospel today. The gospel really struck me this week because of all the stuff that's happening in the world, all the stuff that's happening in our city, and all the stuff that's happened in our church. So, a few moments this morning on the gospel. Would somebody please shut that woman up? Who is she? And what on earth is she yammering about in today's gospel? Jesus is traveling with the 12, and out of nowhere, and I mean nowhere, because this is Canaan, the homeland to the Gentiles, like, who cares? Along comes this woman. She's loud, she's disruptive, she's demanding, and she is persistent. Jesus, I imagine, barely raises an eyebrow. He just keeps on walking. But his powers of concentration obviously exceed those of his disciples because they can't stand it anymore. She's getting on their nerves. They've had enough. I don't think Jesus even noticed. They've had enough. Send her away, they tell him. She keeps shouting after us. She's bugging us. And Jesus, in what may not have been one of his finer moments, basically says, no, you go tell her. I've got my own priorities. I've got enough on my plate without having to deal with people who aren't even from the house of Israel. After all, as we all know, charity begins at home. Now I wonder, why do you think she's shouting? You don't think she started off that day shouting, did you? Or that week, or that month? Don't you think she must have asked nicely the first 100 times? Who knows how long she has been making the rounds, trying to get somebody to help her daughter? And she just keeps running up against a wall, up against somebody else's priorities. I'm sorry, ma'am, but under Section 2C of our policy, you don't qualify for that kind of assistance. I'm sorry, ma'am, but it's not my job. I'm sorry, ma'am, I don't have the authority to make that decision. I'm sorry, we have a labor shortage in this province, haven't you heard? And we're too busy to take on any new clients. And on and on and on, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. Is it any wonder that she becomes shrill? When people can't get anyone to listen to them, when all the power is in the hands of the other, and the other is just not really interested, all that's left is to start shouting, and bang, and get attention, literally raising our voices, smacking the table, bullying, stopping traffic, and figuratively, say, by demonstrating, or going to the courts, litigating, or going to the press. Because we all know that desperation leads to desperate measures. It is practically axiomatic that members of oppressed groups in our society must always be bold and even strident in seeking relief and justice. And thus is added a crowning dynamic to the mix that we read about this morning. I won't help you because you show up at my desk and you're shouting and I don't like the way you're asking. Go away. As if we ourselves had nothing to do with reducing the supplicant to shouting in the first place. As I survey the state of our world, the state of our country, the state of our city, and even indeed the state of our Anglican Church, I see extremism, fundamentalism, and violence, at least sometimes, coming from people who do not feel that they have been able to secure a fair hearing. And it is so easy to dismiss these voices as kooks, as radicals, or simply impossible to deal with these people. The Canaanite woman in today's gospel represents a voice from beyond that stakes its claim on the mercy of God. And I wonder whose are the voices today that she symbolizes and embodies. Regrettably, Jesus' initial response to her pleas is little different. "Ma'am, I don't have enough resources to take care of my own people, let alone share them with the likes of you." Jesus, I think, seems to assume that if he expends energy on the Gentiles, then the children of Israel will be shortchanged. It isn't fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. In other words, there's only so much to go around. He's got to pace himself. He's got to limit himself. But that isn't true, is it? She replies that she could get by even on the crumbs of his attention, on what he wouldn't even miss, in other words. "I'm not asking for much," she says. And she takes his phrase and turns it around, and I love this. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table," she says. I love it, because in my mind's eye, I see Jesus looking up for the first time and looking at her for the first time. And Jesus at this moment does a 360, 180, and he's absolutely taken with her. He's taken with her faith, and he's taken with her perseverance. Whoa! And in the blink of an eye, he gives her her heart's desire. Just like that. And you know what? It didn't end up costing him a thing. Except, of course, maybe his assumption that love and compassion are non-renewable resources. When Jesus is confronted by this woman, when Jesus puts aside his irritation with her perseverance and allows himself to interact with her story and her pain directly, unmediated by the policy manual or his schedule for the day's events, his heart immediately went out to her. Because he encountered her as a person instead of a case or a problem, or a disturbance. We have then in this story the very first inkling of the exploding reach of God's love and compassion for all people, and of the breadth of our own obligation to draw the circle wider. Because it turns out, you see, that there is enough to go around. There is capacity. We do have food. We do have money. We do have water. We do have time. We do have justice and mercy enough for the whole creation. The question that this gospel puts to us is, what do people have to do to get our attention? thank God, there are people who won't take no for an answer. Thank God, there are people who force us to re-examine our priorities, our rules, and our assumptions. Thank God that once we allow those outside the margins of our concern, even those who have become strident and shouting and shrill, once we allow them onto our mattering map, they have the power to enlarge our hearts and our world and our perspective. Thank God for the Canaanite woman who challenged Jesus. For together, they teach us that while charity may begin at home, it never, ever ends there. Amen.